Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We have a wonderful show in store for you as soon as my guest can get in. We're having some Zoom issues, but I'm sure he'll be in shortly. A wonderful author who I'm happy to have come back on the show. But of course, first we have my blog post from a couple of years ago that we'll talk about while we're waiting for him to get on board. And this blog post is entitled, "There is a fine line between expressing our feelings and complaining. It is important to express how we feel, to let others know where we stand, and share how things are affecting us. Sometimes we do not share enough. Other times we share too much. There are also moments when our sharing turns into something else. For when we express ourselves, we can come from a different place internally. Then there is a sudden shift from sharing how we feel into complaining. We can cross that line very easily. Often, we do it without even noticing. What started as a moment of sharing how something unpleasant affected us can soon turn into a complaint about the other person or the situation. Perhaps someone or some organization did something wrong, and we can feel completely justified in telling the world how we feel about it. Yet when we slip into that place of victimhood, our expressing turns into complaining. Suddenly, it is no longer about how we feel. It can quickly shift into making the other person wrong. For there is a fine line that affects how we express ourselves. And that line is determined by where we are coming from internally. Are we coming from a place of knowing that we are a creator of our life? Or are we coming from a place where life is happening to us and we have no choice? This sort of victim mentality is rampant in our society. So it is easy to get seduced by it and fall into that energy without knowing it. This is why it is important for us to listen to our own words. For what comes out of our mouths tells us where we are, as well as the inflection we say it with. For that fine line is determined by our inflection. It can go one way or another so easily. So checking in with ourselves and seeing where we really are at becomes key. How mindful are you when you express yourself? Can you catch yourself when you step over the line from expressing to complaining? So this blog post I wrote a couple of years ago, when I was having a discussion with my wife, and we were talking about an interaction with somebody that we knew and how it felt like the person had started off as just expressing themselves, but that expression very quickly degenerated into just complaining about this other person in their life. And when we tried to point it out to the person, they were like, oh, I'm just expressing how I feel. I'm just expressing how I feel. And I'm sure that was true. And by the words they were using, by the tone of the voice, by their inflection — I'm very big on inflection — by their inflection, you can tell that they had traveled down this path from expressing how they feel into making the other person wrong, into making themselves a victim, and not seeing their own participation in the situation. And so that's what kind of motivated me to write this blog post, because it can happen so quickly and so subtly that we don't even notice. And yeah, a lot has been written about and spoken about, you know, being a victim and how being a victim that just disempowers us and this and that. But we don't often see how it shows up in the world. How does it show up for ourselves in our life? And this is why I feel it's very important to be very mindful when we're speaking of the energy behind our words, of truly where are we coming from when we're talking about a particular topic, especially when it comes to other people. Because so often what we see in other people is merely a reflection of things within ourselves. And when we start complaining about they did this and they did that, and, you know, they hurt me by doing this, and we start to lose seeing ourselves and our participation in the whole situation. Now, look, this is not to say that there are not people out there who do incredibly awful things. Just read the news. You can see it every single day. It's always all over the news. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is how we have a tendency — not everybody, but many of us have this tendency — to turn ourselves into a victim. A victim of an abuser, forgive me, I'm just getting some messages from my guest who's having trouble getting in. So I lost my train of thought. But the point being that we fall into this victimhood very easily, victim of technology. And so it challenges us and makes it very difficult for us to see ourselves in the situation and to see how we're undermining ourselves and how we're showing up and even how we're talking about it. And so this blog post is really a reminder to show us how, when we're mindful of the things we're saying, and if we can catch ourselves in the complaining mode, that That when we catch ourselves complaining, that is a big clue, and that can show us really where we're at. That can show us, maybe we're not really coming from a very centered, neutral, empowered place. And when we stop coming from an empowered place, that's when we slip into this sort of unconscious way of being where we start blaming and disempowering ourselves. Okay. I have to go deal with something right now. So my guest is having some technical trouble getting into the Zoom room. So we're going to go to break a little bit early, and I'm going to try and work out getting them into the Zoom room. So we're going to cut this a little short. Again, the title of my blog post was "There is a fine line between expressing our feelings and complaining." And you can always find my blog post at theconsciousconsultant.com or on talkradio.nyc/blog. So thank you all for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed that blog post. Stay tuned. We're going to take a break, and we're going to see if we can get our guest into the room. We'll be right back.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. It is now my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show lecturer and author Paul Levy, returning guest to the show. Paul is a pioneer in the field of spiritual emergence and a Tibetan Buddhist practitioner for more than 35 years. An artist, after trauma of his shamanic breakdown slash breakthrough, he became a certified art teacher. Due to his great interest in the work of Carl Jung, he became the manager of the Carl Jung Foundation Book Service in New York, as well as the advertising manager for the Jungian journal Quadrant. In 1993, after many years of struggling to contain and integrate his non-ordinary experiences, Paul started to openly share his insights about the dreamlike nature of reality. He began giving talks and facilitating groups based on how life is a shared waking dream that we were all co-creating and co-dreaming together. He is founder of the Awakening in the Dream community in Portland, Oregon, as well as the author of The Madness of George Bush, Wetiko, Dispelling Wetiko, Undreaming Wetiko, and Awakening by the Darkness. And we're here to talk about his reissuance of his groundbreaking book, The Quantum Revelation, a radical synthesis of science and spirituality. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Paul. Please unmute yourself.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to be here. Yeah, really.
It's a pleasure to have you back. You had come on the show a couple of years ago to talk about the Wetiko books, which are wonderful things I'd known about for years. But I was fascinated by your take on quantum physics and quantum mechanics. I really wanted to dive into that in this episode. And so let's just start with what got you so interested in physics. I mean, you come from more of an art and sort of a psychological background. What sort of drew you to this idea of quantum physics?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And basically it was just experiential. Over 40 years ago, I had a life transforming spiritual awakening, you know, the breakdown, breakthrough, in which I found myself in a whole new universe where the realm of what was possible had greatly expanded to practically infinite degrees. And then I was in my early to mid 20s. And then I found quantum physics, you know, just reading like the Tao of Physics and, you know, Gary Zukav's book on the Masters. And then I began to recognize that, oh my God, the universe that quantum physics is articulating and mapping is exactly the universe that I had found myself in. And basically the universe I found myself in was like a dream. Stuff was happening to me that was completely physically impossible, that could only happen in dreams. And finding quantum physics helped me to contextualize my experience and begin to integrate and understand what was happening to me.
Gary Zukav, so it's the Dancing Woolly Masters. I remember reading that, I think when I was in college at the time. And got me very interested. I was actually a physics major my first year in college, and him and David Bohm and all of these great thinkers. But now you were able to kind of take it and now sort of bridge the gap of, you know, this is quote unquote science, right, which most people consider science separate from spirituality. And you kind of bridge the gap, as many famous quantum scientists had done back then, but you have your own particular take on it.
Yeah. Oh no, because I'm not a physicist at all, and I'm just a very curious person, and I'm pointing out that, you know, they're all saying, all the founding fathers were saying, we haven't found the central idea of quantum physics yet. And when we find it, we're going to be thinking, how could we have been so blind that it's going to be so simple that we'll be able to put it on a bumper sticker or a t-shirt? And here I am, and I'm basically having the realization that, oh yeah, quantum physics is revealing to us. It's a living revelation, the likes of which we've never encountered. And it's revealing to us that we're having a collective dream. And that's not a theory. I'm not just offering, oh, this is a theory. This is absolutely empirically proven again and again, but the typical corporately trained, academically trained physicists aren't prepared. This isn't what they signed up for in graduate school. They aren't prepared to really recognize the enormity, the profundity of what quantum physics is revealing to them. That is that we're having a collectively shared dream. This opens up infinite orders of freedom within our soul. It unlocks our creativity. It connects us with our actual authentic self. And it can change the whole world. It already has changed all of history, you know, with all the technology it's brought in. Physicists are saying that's the low-hanging fruit, that the real impact of quantum physics is going to be within our minds. And that's what I'm trying to point out, that it's actually expanding our consciousness and helping us recognize the dreamlike nature, which means to help us recognize who we are. So quantum physics is promoting itself to be a spiritual path unwittingly.
Right. You know, it's so interesting. A couple of years ago, there was a pair of physicists who won the Nobel Prize for proving that the universe is not locally real. And that has tremendous implications, which we're talking about. Yet we're not really seeing people talk about that. You don't hear about it in the mainstream media. You don't hear the implications of what that is.
Yeah. They realized, you know, quantum physics has proven, the universe is non-local in nature. What that means is that it doesn't play by the three-dimensional rules of space and time. And what that means in a quantum universe, and this universe has been discovered to be quantum through and through on all levels, both big and small, that there's no separate parts that are interacting. It's all one seamlessly interconnected quantum whole system. And, you know, that's a game changer when you recognize that, that everything we do, every thought we have, it's all instantaneously interconnected with the whole rest of the universe and vice versa. And, you know, so it's actually shedding light on that that each one of us, because it's so easy to feel helpless in this kind of world of ours, that quantum physics is offering us, is showing us that each one of us has this unimaginably vast creative power. But to the extent we're not conscious of it, in a way, it gets turned against us, and then we become imprisoned by our own unconscious creative genius. And what I'm trying to bring light on is to really introduce people, no, it's part of our nature. We are actually creative beings, and we are creating our experience moment by moment. No one is doing that to us. We are doing that. But because we're unconscious of it, we become sort of, we feel victimized by our own unrealized creative agency.
Yeah, because if you talk to people and say, look, this is a dream, you're dreaming this dream, you're creating like everyone else, you're like, what? No, I'm not creating this. Like, I wouldn't have this guy as president. I wouldn't have this going on in the world. I wouldn't have that going on. And then we start to deny our participation in the dream, don't we?
Right. No, that's a key factor. You know, we are one of the dreamers. There's 8 billion other human beings who are all co-dreaming together. And but this is what I'm saying, you know, about how I'm interpreting quantum physics. It's what every spiritual tradition is pointing at, the exact same thing. And, you know, that we have this incredible agency and creative power, but because we're not aware of it, we've hypnotized ourselves by our own creative genius in a way that's killing us. I mean, that's an individual process that's getting played out in mass, collectively, in the body politic of the world. So what's happening in the world with all the collective insanity and the evil is reflecting something within the human psyche. That what's happening in the world, however dark it is, or you know, the madness, or whoever is president, it's all reflecting something whose origin is within our mind. And that's why the idea of that what's at the bottom of the collective madness is a mind virus. You know, I read 3 books on the Wetiko mind virus. All that means in simple form is that the origin of the collective madness that we're playing out all over the planet is to be found within the psyche. That's a no-brainer. And not just the origin, the solution of our collective madness is to be found within the psyche. And that's what quantum physics is actually showing us, because quantum physics is showing us that consciousness, you can't keep it out, that it's intruded into the physics lab, and it's part of the equation of how the universe arises.
Right. The Heisenberg uncertainty principle, right? That merely by observing the experiment, we're affecting it.
And that's a description of a dream, that when we are observing the universe, we are influencing the universe observed. You could not get a more precise articulation of a dream, because what is a dream? But it's a reflection of the mind that's dreaming. That's the rabbit hole, because when you go through that, you realize the act of observation is creative, and that opens you up to that, oh my God, my very nature, I'm a creative being who's made in the image of the creator, and I'm creating my experience of myself and of the world each and every moment. And quantum physics is openly, free of charge, revealing this to us. And, you know, all we have to do is open our eyes and see. All the quantum physicists are saying that I know, they're like, oh, it's right in front of our face. There's something we're not seeing. There's like some sort of revelation that we have to figure out how to see. And I'm just, here I am, not a physicist at all. Right. And I'm pointing out, yeah, when you recognize that it's revealing to us that we are having a collective dream, and when enough people realize that and connect with each other, they discover they can get in phase with each other and literally change the dream we're having, the waking dream. Mm-hmm. We can dream ourselves awake, and that's to consciously step into our own evolution.
So when you realized all this, when you saw sort of what the implications of quantum physics was saying, how like reality is a dream, what did that do for you personally? Like, how did that, what did it shift inside of you personally that affected your life?
It gave me, it was like an incredible empowerment, you know, that just, you know, and it's an ongoing process. It's like I'm continually deepening my realization. It's not like, oh, I'm this enlightened person. No, I'm a work in process like all of us, like the universe is. But it was so empowering, and it got me in touch with, yeah, the way that I interpret, like in quantum physics, the way you set up the experiment, the questions you ask and how you interpret the data determines the answer you get back. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in everyday life, the way we interpret the inkblot of the waking dream, whatever's happening, we impute meaning on what's happening. No one else is doing that. We are doing that. That actually creates our experience. So all of a sudden, you know, I become, you know, unbelievably just creative every day. It's what I do, you know, and it's so empowering and it's healing. Because, you know, the whole, how come I got so interested in this? Because I was in such deep trauma. Like we're a species in trauma. And my trauma, just the way I held it, it propelled me deep into my psyche. And that was the channel that I discovered the same thing that the physicists discovered by inquiring into the physical world. We both, you know, from two different angles, one from trying to understand the physical world, one from trying to understand the psyche. And we came to the same place, you know, the dreamlike nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. Paul, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I would like to talk about how does this relate to Wetiko, right? Because I think the books that you wrote around Wetiko is what brought you into sort of more visibility in the world. And this is kind of talking about something a little different, but it's very related. So let's get into that relationship. And you're just a little bit soft in your volume. So if you could possibly turn up the volume on your microphone a little bit, that would be great. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Our guest this hour is Paul Levy, author of the book, The Quantum Revelation, A Radical Synthesis of Science and Spirituality. And we will be right back in just a moment.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Paul Levy, author of several books, including The Quantum Revelation. So, Paul, you were initially well known for Wetiko, the mind virus. How does this understanding of quantum physics relate to Wetiko, and how does that help us in dealing with this idea of a mind virus?
Yeah, no, totally. Well, yeah, the quantum physics is the medicine for the mind virus, and the mind virus is, you know, it's the diagnosis. It's the malady that has infected our species that's inspiring us to kill ourselves. And here, quantum physics.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Comes along free of charge and is giving us the antidote. So first off, what Wetiko is, you know, in one way of understanding it, just imagine being in a dream, in a night dream, and you're holding whatever perspective you're having in the night dream. Well, what is the night dream? But it's a reflection of your own mind. So whatever perspective you're holding, the night dream will instantaneously offer you all the evidence confirming the truth of your viewpoint, that it's objectively true. Mm-hmm. Say if you think the world you're living in that night dream is objective and real, you hold that viewpoint, the dream being a reflection of your mind will give you all the evidence confirming that. Now you have proof, so you get even more fixed in your viewpoint. The more fixed in your viewpoint that the world exists objectively, the more the dream will offer you evidence in a feedback loop. Ad infinitum, it's a self-generating feedback loop whose origin is your own mind. And what I'm describing, you've hypnotized yourself by your own creative genius. That's the mind virus, okay? That's a very simple way of understanding the mind virus. Here, quantum physics comes along and says, oh, the idea of that there's an objective universe existing is only that. It's only an idea that exists in your mind. There's no correlate in actual reality at all. Like we were saying, the act of observing this universe influences the universe we're observing. That's to really begin to understand the dreamlike nature. And so when you see that, that there's no objective universe out there, you know, that that it's a function of your perception. Well, wait a second. If there's nothing objective, then what happened to the subject? What happened to me? If I'm a subject, I need an object to be in relationship to in order to be a subject. If there's no object, who am I? You see, those two experiences of, oh, I feel subjectively like I'm an ego, like I'm a third dimensional reference point in space and time, you know, the separate self. That's an imagination that co-arises with the imagination that the world exists objectively. And they reinforce, they reciprocally reinforce. There are two illusions. David Bohm calls it an illusion generating illusion. And that just generates a whole host of other illusions. What quantum physics is offering us, it's shedding light and it's dispelling that illusion. Because once you see the world doesn't exist objectively in the way we've been conceiving it does, like I'm saying, that sheds light on who we are. And then those two illusions, the notion, the idea of an objective world, the idea of that I exist as a separate self, they both dissolve and they reveal who we are. And who are we? We are creative beings that are interconnected with each other and the whole universe. We're interdependent. There is no separate self. The separate self is the mind virus.
You know, it's so interesting because I used to teach a spoon bending workshop with a friend of mine, and we would spend the first hour of the workshop talking about physics and trying to explain to people how what we've discovered is that, you know, things aren't as real as we think they are. And the deeper in we go, the less and less there is. And that actually we can do anything, like even bend a spoon once, but people always had a problem bending a spoon until the first person did it. or until we could identify and work with that individual person, what was the thing that was holding them back from bending the spoon? Because sometimes it was, oh, if I bend a spoon, that means I'm powerful, and then I'm responsible for this bad thing that happened before. Right. Or sometimes it means, you know, we create all these kinds of meanings around things.
Right.
So how do we use this, understand this revelation? I mean, it truly is a mind-blowing concept.
Yeah.
But in order for it to really take in and hold in our nervous system so that we can actually live as the creators that we are, there's stuff we got to get through, right?
Yeah. Well, I think of Albert Einstein, who is one of the founding fathers of quantum physics, who could never fully embrace the revelation that is quantum physics because he seemed to be still like overly attached to that there was an actual objective world separate from the observer. He couldn't let go of that. And but he says that quantum physics is so uncommonly important, it should be everyone's concern. So it's not just some sort of esoteric abstract theory that's really complicated. Like when I get a quantum physics book, if there's math and equations, no, I close the book. I'm interested in, no, it's actually an expression of something way, way deeper inside of us. And it actually has everything to do with our relationships with each other, our relationships with the universe, with the world, with ourselves. You know, I think in my book, I think it's the biggest chapter in the book is about the everyday world of quantum physics, of how, you know, it impacts our life in incredible ways. Mm-hmm. And one of the key things that quantum physics is saying is that the opposites of mind and matter that are typically conceived of as like they're the archetypal opposites, you know, there's spirit and then there's the physical world. Quantum physics is bringing them together. This is exactly what alchemy, when they talk about the coincidence of opposites, the sacred marriage, bringing together the opposites. So quantum physics is actually shedding light on, you know, the whole synchronistic phenomena of how is it that at certain moments, this physical world seems to express what's happening in our mind. Well, quantum physics is showing us, that's proven that there's no difference between our mind and the physical world, that we are not, you know, that we think of the psyche as inside of our skull. No, the psyche, we are within the psyche. This is reflecting our own consciousness. And if we think that's not true, then this universe will reflect back, giving us all the evidence it's not true, which actually confirms the profundity of it.
Right, which kind of almost we see reflected in the world today so much, right? If someone holds a certain point of view and they go out looking on the internet, they're going to find all these reasons why they're right. And if someone holds an opposite point of view, they go out and look for evidence of why they're right, they're going to find evidence of why the opposite is true.
Yeah, and it's like they're each in their own echo chamber. And quantum physics is saying one of the ways it talks about that, it says, you know, say if it, you know, I'm in Portland, Oregon, and it rains a lot, and so it's not uncommon. Oh, there's a rainbow. Well, quantum physics will talk about rainbows, you know, because what is a rainbow? It's a combination of three factors. There's light, there's water, and there's consciousness. When those three factors come together, we then have an experience of a rainbow. Quantum physics says, what is the nature of that rainbow? There's no objective rainbow out there. The rainbow, your experience of a rainbow is an image inside of your mind. That's, you know, just phenomenologically how we experience a rainbow. There's no objective rainbow. Quantum physics is saying that's the nature of the physical world. We all think we're seeing the same physical world, but just like if you and I were here and looking at the rainbow out there, we're not seeing the same rainbow. There's no objective rainbow. We're each seeing our own private rainbow. So we're each seeing our own private world, but if you're in your particular echo chamber, you're going to then draw evidence confirming the truth of your world, and I'll be doing the same if I'm asleep, and then we'll go to war over whose version of reality is correct, you know? So quantum physics can really shed light on, you know, what's at the bottom of the incredible conflict that we have within ourselves and between each other.
And the term Wetiko comes from Native Americans, indigenous culture. And there are other things in indigenous cultures, mythology that kind of points to this, isn't there? Like this, we tend to think of quantum physics like this is something new. It's only in the last 100 years, but indigenous cultures, spiritual traditions have been saying this for thousands and thousands of years, haven't they?
Exactly. And this, I have a section of my book where I talk about this is what the Buddha realized, you know. And, he had tapped into the quantum. And so here are these modern day quantum physicists who were having their mind blown. And there are quotes I have in the book that they're saying, oh, my God, you know, this is what, you know, ancient Eastern, you know, sages had tapped into centuries before, you know. And the thing I want to point out in Tibetan Buddhism, because I'm very familiar with that, because I do practice in that lineage, there's this idea of hidden treasures. It's called terma. And it's a real thing. It's not some sort of fairy tale where the lineage keeps itself fresh by that there are these hidden treasures implanted in the multidimensional fabric of the universe that right when they're needed, they're discovered. And they could be a blessed object or a teaching or a prayer or a visualization. And then the person who discovers it, if they actually do the practice and get back, you know, have realization, then they're empowered to share with the community. And one way of understanding it is that the community dreamed up collectively that hidden treasure to bring them back to center. And it's very much like in an individual, when we get off center, what happens? We'll have a dream and there'll be a symbol in the dream. And if we recognize the symbol, resonate with it, it brings us back to our center. Those hidden treasures are like that. They're like alarm clocks that are hidden in the fabric of the dream. I'm pointing out in my new version of the book that quantum physics is the modern day analog to a hidden treasure. We have dreamed up quantum physics into the world and into our minds to help us to awaken. And all that's needed is for us to recognize what's staring us in the face. It's like those little kids' puzzles where you have the hidden faces and they're not hidden. They're staring you in the face. You just have to see them. That's what all the great teachers are pointing at, that this revelation, it's literally right in front of our face. And we just have to open our eyes and see it.
Yeah. It reminds me of years and years ago on my show, I interviewed a woman who had worked with the Aboriginal tribes in Australia, and her husband had MS and he went to find healing. And the tribe said when he arrived, we knew you were coming because we dreamed you.
Yeah. It's exactly that, right? And that's that deeper place where when you connect with, you know, that we're having a dream with the deeper dreaming, you know, it unlocks our natural capacities of telepathy. We're naturally psychic. And, you know, our psyche is not contained within third dimensional space and time. And, you know, so, yeah, like indigenous cultures, like the Aboriginals, or like, you know, basically like any indigenous culture that's based on wisdom, they are tapped into the quantum. They just don't have the equations or the rigorous science backing it up. But, you know, I should just make clear the discovery of quantum physics is very controversial. What does it mean? You know, everybody's like fighting about that, but there's no controversy at all that it is the greatest discovery ever in all of history in the realm of science. Nobody I know debates that. And, you know, and people should know about it. People should be on rooftops screaming, going, there's been a discovery that can potentially help us to heal the collective madness, Watiko, you know, the mind virus that's infected our species.
Yeah. Okay. We need to take another break. And when we come back, let's talk about that. What is needed to heal the mind virus? What is needed to heal the collective consciousness of this planet? And then what? Where does that lead us? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Paul. Everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We'll be right back with our guest, Paul Levy, in just a moment.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, And each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Paul, we've been talking about how quantum physics is really like the medicine, the antidote for this collective mind virus. How do we heal the world, though? Especially today, I know so many people feel lost. They feel almost hopeless because we're so divided. We're so at odds. We're so polarized in today's world. How do we use this revelation? How do we use this treasure?
Totally. Well, the thing is, it starts with the individual. It's not something collectively, oh, let's create a new law or something. No, not just for each one of us, but any one of us having realization of our quantum nature, of the dreamlike nature, you know, seeing Watiko, however you describe it, that instantaneously gets deposited in the collective consciousness of our species. And that could be the catalyst that changes everything. But even more than that, when one person has realization and they embody it and creatively express it, that can go viral. That's like contagious, sort of like COVID was contagious in a negative way. This realization can go viral and be contagious in a positive way. Because what happens when you have people who are switched on, who have lucidity in the waking dream, and they come together and connect with each other, they can dream ourselves awake, okay? Mm. We can actually, you know, get in phase with each other, get in sync with each other, you know, and what are we realizing? We're stepping out of the mind virus, we're seeing through the illusion of the separate self, recognizing we're interconnected, interdependent. The energetic expression of that is compassion. And then also what happens is that we discover that we can put our awakening together, each one of us, in a way where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, where it activates the collective genius of our species. It taps in to the zero point of consciousness itself, whatever you call it. These are all like phrases to point out something is available to us in this moment. And everything depends on if we have the recognition. You see, something is being revealed to us through the mind virus, through quantum physics. And the whole key, how this is all going to work out, is because the mind virus is quantum in nature. It contains, in a superposition of states, the deepest evil and poison, and it's actually helping us to wake up. How is the mind virus going to manifest being quantum in nature? It all depends if we recognize that it's revealing something to us about ourselves. Same thing with quantum physics. So everything depends if we recognize what is being revealed. And then when one person really integrates that to whatever degree we do, like I'm saying, connecting with other people who do that, and then that can actually unlock the most unbelievable creativity, you know, because that is the nature of the self. You know, the greatest protection against the mind virus is to connect with your true nature. What does that even mean? That's such a cliche. Yeah. What is your true nature? Our true nature by its nature is creative.
Okay. So when you have realization of your nature, you embody being creative. You express yourself creatively. And the more you do that, the deeper in you realize your nature in a positive feedback loop that creates light upon light in a world of darkness. And when you connect with other people who are doing that, then all bets are off. Then we could potentially change the world. And that's not New Age woo-woo. That's actually our situation right now.
Yeah. So I'm thinking the example of, they did a study where they brought 400 Buddhist monks, in the Washington, D.C. area to, and all they did was prayed for peace. And they found that the crime rates dropped by 40% that night. Right. So it's that kind of thing, that it's not that everybody necessarily has to, quote unquote, wake up for us to know that we're in a dream. But when a certain percentage of people, you know, some people say it's 5%, 10%, 12%, whatever percentage it happens to be, that if a certain percentage of us wake up to the fact that we're living in a dream and we're the creator of the dream, that energetically, spiritually, that will create sort of an energetic wave that will transform the planet.
Yeah. Well, it's very much like if you want to bake, you know, this loaf of bread, there has to be a certain amount of yeast in the dough for the bread to rise. It doesn't have to be 100% yeast. There just needs to be the critical, you know, that's the 100th monkey phenomenon, or in the Bible, they talk about the symbolic number, 144,000. That's the idea. And one way of understanding that, think about if you have a glass of water and you dissolve these granules of sugar in the water. One by one, they'll dissolve. It reaches then the saturation point. Mm-hmm. You get one more grain of sugar and then a crystal manifests. And that's a perfect symbol of how crystals actually crystallize via our unconscious in through our dreams. But also, it could be that that grain of sugar that catalyzes that crystal that manifests could be in this moment, one of the people who's hearing us talk might have realization of what we're talking about. That could be the grain of crystal that catalyzes an entire global awakening of our species.
Beautiful. Do you think we'll see it in our lifetime?
Well, you know, from one point of view, that's an interesting question. And, you know, but from one point of view, it's already happened atemporally. And because it's easy, we have all the evidence to think, oh no, we're really far away, it'll never happen. And then we're contributing to dreaming up that reality where it's not going to happen. So I always go to the atemporal dimension where we've already woken up, and all of this is like that realization kind of extended backwards in seeming time, such that this is the medium, what we're experiencing now, through which we have that realization and actually incarnate that atemporal, you know, conscious realization that we've all woken up. And that's exactly what Christ was saying when he says the kingdom is spread all over and we just don't see it. That's what I'm pointing out. And, you know, and that's what quantum physics is a revelation of. And even Watiko, it's like Watiko, the mind virus, it's a revelation, but instead of coming from heaven through a beam of light, it's a revelation through the darkness, you know? And because to remember that light doesn't just reveal darkness, light is revealed through the darkness. Through
darkness, right. Without the darkness, how can there be light? You know, something you said before, I just wanted to mention this, was this idea of our consciousness, that the mind is not the generator of consciousness. We're like swimming in the sea of consciousness, because I've heard many people say, a certain scientist proposing that the brain is not a generator of consciousness, but a receiver of consciousness.
Right.
And that now certain cosmologists are saying that consciousness preceded the physical universe, that in order for us to have a physical universe, there had to be consciousness first.
Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, quantum physics was really, it was trying to understand what are the building blocks of this physical world and what is the microstructure. And the more it went down in scale to smaller and smaller degrees, it didn't find anything having to do with matter. It found consciousness, you know, and that's in a way, the big problem that a lot of the traditional physicists are still struggling with is consciousness has come into the physics lab. And it's the skeleton in the physics closet, so to speak, And they've changed theories and done everything they could to try to get rid of it, but it's not going away. And, you know, and it's actually good news. It's incredibly good news that, you know, what quantum physics is showing us about, you know, the primacy of consciousness. And that's just another way of describing the dreamlike nature.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Paul, I'm so grateful for you to take the time to come on my show. I truly hope to help you with spreading this message across the globe, because I think this is something that everyone needs to hear about, no matter what their stature, what their socioeconomic situation is. The more people who can hear this message, perhaps, the more we can help people wake up in the dream.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I mean, we're all in the soup together that's being cooked for us, and we're all on the same side. And, you know, and what I'm sharing has nothing to do with me. This is just like, no, I've tapped into something that a lot of people have tapped into, and it's needed. It's urgently needed in the current moment in time that we're in. You know, so really, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. So if people want to learn more about your works, do you have a website? Where can people go to learn more about you?
So the way I would say it, if people want to awaken in the dream, go to awakeninthedream.com. That's my website. You know, there's a ton of articles and interviews. You know, it's not monetized because I want to get this information out because it's medicine. Mm-hmm. And yeah, people could buy an autographed book or book a session. But, you know, I've made a point. There's no paywall. I just want to share this information.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that tremendously. And I see your spirit. And I also know when we talked a little bit more about your story last time you were on the show 2 years ago. But like, people should know that, you know, you came through a lot of darkness to come to this place of light, and that it wasn't always easy. So even if we're struggling in our own life, in our own world, that just because we're struggling doesn't mean that there isn't something, there isn't a hidden treasure waiting for us around the next corner.
Yeah, no, totally. No, what I went through, it's unimaginable what I had to go through, but it was part of my initiation. I see that now. I wouldn't have been able to connect with my own authority and my own place of being empowered and to write my books without having gone through what I went through.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Paul. I appreciate you coming on the show today. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in each week. Without you, there is no show. And don't forget, if you did miss any part of today's show, please catch the replay on talkradio.nyc and all over social media and on all the major podcasting platforms. Thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will talk to you all next week.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.